Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But I got it, and I liked it.
Somebody's going to AI that soon enough, too. You're in trouble, Pony. I mean, I'm seeing AI now of, like, Martin Luther King Jr. spitting promos in wrestling rings.
Oh, yeah.
Fan weather.
I am the dream or whatever it was.
For Sunday, Steelers-Browns will be in the 60s at Acrisure. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Okay, so we've had a break here between Steelers games. We've talked a lot about all the carnage in the AFC North. And look, we'll get back to really analyzing games once they play another one on Sunday. And there's plenty of time still to preview the game against the Browns. It's 5 o'clock on a Wednesday before this game. And even though it's Steelers-Browns, it doesn't exactly like get the juices going like it used to. I don't mean to downplay this game. I'll be there on Sunday, but...
Can I just give a 10-second aside?
Yes.
As like an old... For people who I think like old school... high-level defensive football, like where it should be a very a very hard-hitting game.
Yeah.
I actually do think it's going to deliver the goods in that respect. Like, I expect it to be a game played in the teens where it's more both defenses are just very,
you've
very
also
good.
Predicted the Steelers might lose this game even though they haven't lost at home to the Browns in a regular season game since 03. So I would expect you to say that based on...
But I think if you're a fan of that stuff, like a 20-17 or a 17-13 game, I think
I'm a fan of making it 51-0, but flip it like 88 and said, now the Steelers win the game.
Yeah, I would love it if Mike Tomlin would take an early 2-score lead and say, I'm going to try to hang half 100 on them. Instead, it's like, why don't we let them back in and make it fun?
Other than just fooling around on Twitter and posting images of Belichick with a
Steelers polo.
With a binder in his hand, not a binder, a clipboard in his hand looking like the next Steelers defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I did stumble upon this today. And look, I know that mock drafts are nonsense, so I'm not bringing up a mock draft because I think it's gospel. It's nowhere close to it. It's friggin' October 8th. CBSSports.com had a mock draft today where with the 14th pick, they had the Steelers taking Drew Aller. And that, seeing that, just... turn the light bulb on for me again with the quarterback discussion about the Steelers beyond this year. And I really feel, I cannot believe I'm saying this because I was adamantly against it when they brought him here. But I don't think it would be the worst thing to cajole Rodgers to come back for one more year. And even though the draft is here, and you want to create this all-time week for Steelers fans, and you want to, you know, make it as big and as bright and as all of those things, like the Hollywoodization of the draft here in Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
and taking your next guy at quarterback would be the way to do that. We are almost halfway through the college football season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that idea right now. This is not a draft at the moment that looks like it's flush with young future franchise quarterbacks. There are guys that I'm interested in. I think they're cool. Like, oh, this is a neat prospect. Mendoza at Indiana, kind of off my radar before the season started, off to an electric start.
Dante Moore looks like he's going to be
I like
very
the balls he showed in the whiteout game, yeah.
I still like Sellers, but he, I think, is not going to be somebody who comes into it ready-made anyway.
That's what I mean. So
the bloom is way off the Arch Manning, the Nussmeier, the Al...
Klubnik.
Oh, my God. You know what?
And
let's get Klubnik into the fifth or sixth round where he belongs.
And Aller is, like, for me, because he's right down the road, is the poster boy of this.
I think Aller shows zero traits as a college quarterback that, like, okay, he has an arm, right? Huge arm, and he's pretty mobile. He ran for, like, 80 yards against UCLA in a loss, mind you.
Yeah.
He is the poster child for NFL coaches who would say, well, get him into our offense with pro coaching and he'll be better. I'm not so sure about that, man.
He is more Mitch Trubisky than he is Trevor Lawrence.
That's actually...
And when I saw him first at Penn State, I thought maybe this guy's Trevor Lawrence. I've watched literally every one of his starts there, and I think he's a lot like Mitch Trubisky as far as there's athletic traits there. But he just does not have the processing skills, even in college, to be a great quarterback.
Well, I think
college quarterback, Chris.
I understand you can boil it down to like processing or whatever, but like against worse teams, he pulls the trigger on throws he doesn't pull the trigger on in big games. He's got something worse, I think, even than processing problems. I hate using this nebulous term here because you know me, I like to try to back up my arguments with like stats and everything else. I just don't think the guy has the it factor at all. Like, you need a great quarterback to be kind of that dude, right? Have that attitude. Rodgers, when he was in his prime, has that ultra-cool gunslinger mentality. Roethlisberger, hey, guys, I'm going to make, like, four plays this drive that defy belief. Brady, yeah, I'm getting in the huddle. My heart rate's actually 58 right now. It's a tie game or we're losing in the Super Bowl with 2 minutes left. I'm cool.
Yeah.
Joe Montana pointing out, who was it in the stands?
John Candy.
John Candy in the stands. Aller... at least gives off to me the complete opposite vibe there.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to crap my pants here. I'm Donovan McNabb. I'm about to vomit on the field.
Yeah, McNabb actually got to big games.
Well, you know what
though.
I mean.
Yes.
But like, he confers the opposite, and I am disgusted by, I'm sorry. Donnie, you know this. Our guy Nate, he needs to be stopped here with the AI. I've got a picture of a frowning Bill Belichick. It says, maybe AI isn't all bad, with a hoodie on and two hairy boobs. superimposed over the hoodie that now I have. Can people just tweet me normal stuff so this moves off of my mentions tab, please?
I have to give Crowley some credit.
Anyway,
Crowley, one of his selling points on Rodgers was this will be entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right so far. They're winning. It's not like a fireworks display. They're not scoring 35 points a game or anything like that since the Jets game. But I've enjoyed watching him play a very cerebral style of quarterback. And
I've enjoyed listening to him explain what he's doing.
And given the lack of young guys who I think are ready to take the bull by the horns and be long-term solutions at the position, if I can talk Rodgers into it, I'd rather bring him back and wait.
Here's what I'd actually rather do, believe it or not. You're going to say, Mulzy, you were once again splitting the baby and trying to have it both ways. I still think Sellers has the best combination of like physical attributes and I think can get a lot better and has a ceiling that I love. If you somehow were in position because of the way the year shakes out where Sellers doesn't necessarily go top five, let's say people fall in love with Mendoza and more, and maybe South Carolina goes like 8-4 and they kind of drift a little, and so he drifts, and maybe there, people just don't love him. I'd take him if I could get him in the mid rounds without having, or the middle of the first round without having to move up too much, and tell Rodgers, stay for another year, please. We drafted this guy, but you're the starter. We basically want him to sit for the majority of the year, if not the whole year, and we want you to kind of help him along a little bit. It is your last year. We want you to win, but like, hey, pass along a little info on your way. I would love that. That, to me, is best of both worlds. You get a quarterback who, if he's good the rest of this year, is willing to come back because presumably he likes it here and is willing to do this, and you maybe have a chance to still steal somebody you think can be your quarterback in the
future. I know,
future.
But one of your arguments against Kenny Pickett was where they drafted him in a weak quarterback class. If this is starting to look like a weak quarterback class and you take a quarterback in the 20s, what kind of quarterback are you really getting? I know Lamar Jackson was drafted there, and I know Jordan Love
was class, though. Even with some of these guys not performing well, like I still think measurables and everything else. Like Sellers would be a bit of a project, but the dude, you can't teach how big, how fast, how strong, and how good the arm is.
Yes, but you've also said, I don't trust this organization to develop projects.
Are you gonna wait for the ready-made, pro-ready quarterback then and draft that guy? Because then you have to probably be 1-1. And then you're just never drafting a guy.
No, not necessarily. I mean,
you probably have to be picking in the top five for somebody that's seen as a walk right in and play guy. Lenoris Sellers, just to use him as an example.
Bo Nix was a walk right in and play guy.
For Sean Payton,
yeah,
different
true.
Story.
Right.
Lenoris Sellers, when we talk about, like, you've said often that to some degree Roethlisberger could come in maybe when they didn't have a great rep, although it was different for quarterbacks, because he was so gifted he could overcome maybe mediocre coaching.
Sure. He had better than mediocre coaching.
He did.
Coaching.
He had very good coaching. My point is, Sellers physically, of all those people, is probably the guy that I would say still has the tools in the toolbox to overcome non-Sean McVay-level coaching.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're 15 minutes away from another episode of Judge Donnie today in the Judge Donnie chambers. We will litigate. Will the Ravens make the playoffs? Will the Ravens make the 2025 NFL playoffs?
I offered you a...
That is on the docket.
I offered you a hypothetical one before the show. I like what you came up with much better.
Will Baltimore get in?
Did you know what happened with last week's judge? It was Judge Charlie.
Oh, no.
And it might have been, Donnie, would you like to think, the most consequential game of rock, paper, scissors of all time?
What was the topic on the table?
The Pirates will make the playoffs in 2026. The Pirates won't make it. And I
Who got no?
Me.
No, I got no that they won't
make
it.
Sorry.
Donnie got
I
yes.
That they will.
I mean, at that point, Donnie, you would have needed to do a Johnny Cochran-esque...
I
mean,
even referenced Johnny Cochran. Yeah, I said, like, I needed Johnny and Rob Kardashian to have any shot here.
And did that score you any points with the judge?
Well, you want to know what my final like minute argument was? It was like everybody else in the NL Central will get sick.
And
players will go down. The Pirates will rise up.
He was basically like a public defender who knew he had lost. And by the end of his last argument, he started laughing openly into the mic.
What was Saul Goodman's name before he flipped there?
Jimmy McGill.
You were Jimmy McGill.
It was tough. It was very tough.
All right. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's time for a Hawk Report. Jeff Hathorn, 93.7thefan.com's. Steelers Insider. Let's get a sponsor on this Jeff Report. I mean, Jeff does an incredible
How about
job
the aviary?
For us. Exactly. Somebody out there, get in touch with our amazing sales team. Let's slap a nice sponsor on Jeff here as he joins us over at Steelers headquarters. All right, Jeff, the injuries. Mike Tomlin painted a very rosy picture on Tuesday. Did that come to fruition today? The guys they left the light on for, that they were going to let participation be their guide, blah, blah, blah. How did it look with those Steelers today?
Well, those guys, the light's still off. on Jalen Warren.
On
Jalen Ramsey. Listen, he also said that it's probably going to be limited or not practicing early, and then maybe there's a chance for a guy like Ramsey or Calvin Austin to be able to practice at the end of the week and then be able to play. We've seen no signs of that. You can't tell me that Thursday night doesn't matter, like that you're going to play Sunday and then have Thursday. So there's an opportunity that maybe those two don't play on Sunday, but could be available on Thursday. But the others, Jalen Warren looked great. I have no doubts that Joey Porter is going to play. So from that standpoint, it looks good.
Who do you think steps in at wide receiver for Calvin Austin and becomes wide receiver two if he can't go?
Yeah, I don't think there's a guy. I think you're going to see different sets. I think you're going to see three tight end sets. I think you're going to see 13 personnel to use
the lingo
of the day.
Which wide receiver will have the second most snaps behind DK Metcalf?
Ben Skowronek.
Could be. If they really are looking to run it, it's going to be Skowronek. I think Scotty Miller's got a chance to be in that conversation. And I say this for Roman. As has been pointed out, he's going to get a chance. If he makes something happen with that first chance he gets, then he can build on his reps. If he doesn't, then, we're going to see more of the guys that they can count on for the other things that a receiver does, most notably blocking.
Jeff, speaking of the big personnel and wanting to run the ball, you were in the scrum. What the hell was going on with Rodgers' answer when he was asked by Mike DeFabo? Pretty good question, just what benefits, what have you noticed about having the extra offensive lineman Spencer Anderson in there? And he just goes, you got to go ask the offensive coordinator. Yeah. Andrew and I thought that was a very strange answer and an otherwise at times illuminating and like honest media avail from Rodgers.
Yeah, I love the stuff he was saying about Garrett and also about the rivalry with the Browns.
And he said some good schematic stuff too about high. Like I thought he gave you a window in, but then he clammed up like he was
very
under
bizarre.
The sea with that answer.
Yeah, I think probably for a second he's like, okay, I don't want to give anything away. So I'll just kind of defer to Arthur Smith to say what he wants to do. But, it was part of their success in Minnesota, and they feel like that they have some momentum, the offensive line does, from that fourth quarter. I mean, there's been a ton of talk from those guys this week about feeling really good about how they progressed and what they did and how they were able to kind of grind out that game. Now, this is going to be a challenge like they haven't seen. I mean, no one stops the run better than Cleveland.
Jeff, Pat Freiermuth. I don't know if he talked today. I haven't checked. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Eventually, he probably will this week. We heard Mike Tomlin's explanation. What the heck is going on there with the tight end that's making a lot of money here?
Yeah, they're working on different schemes, different personnel, working on different ways. I mean, I think they've got two tight ends that want to play every down. And
the third tight end played more than both combined.
I was going to say, the guy who doesn't want to play every down is playing close to every down, Jeff.
And it's been valuable with what he can do. I thought it was interesting where he said that Hayward, who's kind of known for his blocking, and Pat, who's a pretty big dude, aren't big enough to be able to block on the end, because I think they are and have, but obviously they're not as big as Broderick Jones. Listen, I think Freiermuth's trying to find his place in this offense right now, and I think they're trying to figure out how they distribute these passes between DK and Jonnu and Pat, and specifically with those three options. I think there will be games where you'll see more, but I think when you're seeing them having success with the run, you're going to see more Darnell.
Jeff, so we're trying to figure out how to divvy up reps at tight end. How do you think, when it looks like Highsmith trending in the right direction, like the injury report said, how do they divvy up reps at outside backer now?
I think there'll be they've talked about this three outside linebacker package. We might see that, but that's going to be limited. I think you might see Highsmith start, but I think you're going to see more reps to Herbig, especially in this first game. Maybe Thursday it changes a little, but assuming that there aren't any other issues with Highsmith, and he's looked good so far with this, coming back from the high ankle sprain, I think you'll see Herbig with more snaps on Sunday, and then Thursday we'll kind of see where that ankle is for Highsmith. But I think they are committed. I know this has been lip service kind of in the past. I think they are committed to, whether it's having all three of them on at the same time, on the field at the same time, they realize they've got to get Herbig reps when both Watt and Highsmith are healthy.
Here's another one, because Pony offered this theory that they could use Herbig like a closer. If they get a lead in a game, he comes in to try to close it out. Do you think? Let me ask you this. Let's say they are up on the Browns, I don't know, 5 points or something, where the Browns need a touchdown. They can't go for a field goal to tie the game. So it's 20-16 late, Jeff. And TJ Watt is out there on one side, as he always is. Who do you think, with 2 minutes left, Browns have the ball down four, is opposite TJ Watt?
In this scenario, because he's coming back from injury, it's Herbig.
I agree.
What if it's Joe Flacco in the exact same situation on Thursday?
Who's playing better in the game? And I mean it that way. I think they look and see who's making a bigger impact in the game. Here's where Herbig has really helped himself. He's become a lot better against the run. And I think that used to be the knock on him, is that we can't have him in situations where run is really an option, or on early downs where run is a threat. I don't think that's as much the case anymore. He's improved so much in the run game. He's earned himself more opportunities.
More snaps on Sunday, Kenneth Gainwell or Jaylen Warren?
Jaylen Warren.
Not even a hesitation there. Jeez.
But
wow,
if
after Kenneth Gainwell, the game of his life, Kenny G.
But if they can't run the ball, like if they're just running into a wall every time, then Gainwell is obviously going to get some more opportunities, because he's kind of the pass-catching guy. He's a guy you can put out in the slot. But I don't doubt, obviously, by the quick answer, that Warren's going to get more opportunities. It was just a precaution from everything I've heard, you know, in the Minnesota game. And, I mean, Warren's looked fantastic at practice.
One more for you, Jeff, and I'll just point out that, again, when Andrew and I listened to Rodgers, kind of he had this thought, and I agreed with him. When he was asked about the lack of a deep passing game, so much of this quick stuff, it was very quick, was Rodgers, to point out that, hey, if teams are going to play us two high safeties, that's what's going to be there. He did not, like, say, well, got to have more time to throw this or that. And we both thought, maybe is he shifting it away from the offensive line now because he's happier with their blocking? Like, it was maybe a chance where he'd say, well, we've got to have time to throw to do that stuff. Arthur Smith kind of alluded to that a little bit, and he didn't. He said, hey, this is what they're giving us, we'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, we all know Aaron is very smart guy. I think that's a chance to, like, hey, we've got some momentum with this offensive line, I'm going to keep that momentum going. You know, one of the things, guys, and I think we've discussed this a little bit, the timing from Aaron on those short throws has been impeccable. I mean, Yep. The yak has been great, but his timing on those throws, I mean, I'd almost dare a defense, all right, stop those short throws, and then when they do, then you're going to see those opportunities deep.
All right, Jeff, what's your score prediction for Steelers and Browns?
I say Steelers 16-7.
What was the final score of Super Bowl III? You know, it was the MVP in that game?
In Super Bowl III?
Yeah.
Who won that game? The Chiefs or the Raiders? Why am I thinking
Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Namath.
Oh, wait.
Do you know what he did?
Hold on. Time out. I have to officially apologize. I was zoning out on Chiefs in Super Bowl IV, I think it was, Pony.
Yes.
Sorry. Yes. Broadway. Who had the two touchdowns? Matt Snell?
And what did Broadway Joe do? He called into Ron Cook's final show here on The Fan, and Ron Crud.
Yes, he did.
And then people wanted to take pictures with Ron, and he walked right out the door before they could, right, Donnie?
I think that's a legendary
move.
You
were here for that.
I mean, I think he walked out with his headphones still on, and the whole wire dragging on the floor.
He shook our market manager SPAC's hand and, like, briefly stopped, and then, yeah, he was, like, out like a fart in the wind, man.
And now it's Ron Cook sitting at poolside with a fur coat on.
Do you think he's okay, let me ask you something. Is he watching, say, Cubs and Brewers right now?
Yes, he is. He's actually bigger. He's actually bigger into baseball than he is football.
I mean, listen, guys, it's
Ron's
happy hour.
Ron's watching these games. Yeah,
absolutely, Ron's somewhere watching baseball.
I'll bet you a freebie that the Brewers win this game. I don't have to pay my tab if Priester does his job.
That was the Hawk Report. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, boys.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All rise, boys. By the way, Mr. Filippone,
yes.
Very, very sad discovery last week. We need the gavel replaced.
Oh, no.
I'm going to...
Hold on, ready?
Maybe set you on that journey.
Very high tech on this show.
All right, today's case about the Baltimore Ravens. Will this team make the playoffs in 2025?
Malzi, ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Damn. Malzi wins.
Starting to catch on. I will take the position that the Baltimore Ravens will not make the playoffs in 2025.
Here we go.
Football and playoff standings and everything else are very literally and figuratively a simple numbers game. And the simple numbers of what Baltimore is likely to have to overcome are... really just, they're too daunting. The Ravens don't look like they're going to have Lamar Jackson for a matchup with a doubtless ticked off Rams team that gave one away last week to the San Francisco 49ers, also coming off of kind of the mini quasi bye. They will likely then be 1-5 heading into their bye week. Their schedule does soften. In the next month, their hardest game is probably on the road at the Vikings. They could win all four with a healthy Lamar Jackson. They don't have really much left that would scare you. Maybe the Patriots at home, maybe the Packers on the road, and of course, maybe the Steelers as well. Maybe a late date with Joe Burrow and the Bengals. So you could squint and see only three or four more losses for a team that would start 1-5. Here's the problem. You start 1-5, you're fighting history as well. Two teams have won a division starting 1-5. Two others have made the playoffs. The Washington football team won a division in the zombie COVID year of 2020, but they were 7-9. That's not going to get it done for the Ravens this year because I think the Steelers are winning probably at least 9 games. You're not going to have a losing record and win the AFC North. The other thing is, this is about making the playoffs, not even winning the division. The Buffalo Bills are 4-1. They're going to make it. The New England Patriots suddenly look pretty good at 3-2. The Steelers are 3-1. Indy and Jacksonville are both 4-1. Houston, who just slaughtered a Jacksonless Baltimore team, they're 2-3 and could get back in the fight. Kansas City's 2-3. Does anybody think they're dead and buried? Not the Ravens, who lost to them by 3 scores. Chargers and Denver, both 3-2. I just named 9 teams the Ravens would have to hop over. It's a numbers game. They'll only have 11 games to do it, and I don't think that'll be enough time for them. Gavel.
Andrew?
I do think it's odd that, Your Honor, that a lawyer in your courtroom has been asked to replace your gavel. I don't know of many judicial systems around the country that would ask an independent, private attorney like myself to do that, but that's fine.
A lot of government and private sector overreach there.
I guess so. Look, I agree with Counselor Mueller that the Ravens are going to start 1-5 and lose this game. But as he stated, it is not an impossibility for a 1-5 team to make the playoffs. In fact, we saw Andrew Luck and the Colts do that in 2018, and we saw Andy Reid with a Patrick Mahomes-less Kansas City Chiefs do the same thing. Now, I think what Counselor Mueller is trying to downplay here is the schedule being a big advantage for the Ravens once they get out of this bye. With Lamar Jackson in the lineup, they have averaged 33 points a game. And I would also point out that in one of those games, he didn't finish the game. Okay, so that's even with three quarters of Lamar Jackson and not four, that's 33 points per game. If they did that, okay, the rest of the way, when he comes back, that would make them the second highest scoring offense in the NFL behind only the Lions and the highest scoring in the AFC. So what you're essentially asking yourself is, are the teams they're going to play over the next 2 months and change, are they capable against the Ravens of scoring 34 points or more in these games against them? So you've got the Bears in Baltimore. You've got the Vikings. Who the hell knows who their quarterback's going to be? You've got a date with the Browns again. You've got the Jets going on the road. They're 0-5. You've got the Bengals. We've already seen what Joe Flacco looks like against the Ravens this year, and it was not good. For all the crap we've talked on the Ravens' defense, they gave up only 17 points to a Joe Flacco team earlier this year. My point being is this. They can still get to 9, 10, maybe even 11 wins. The schedule backs that up. They're still alive.
Chris. Thank you, Your Honor. I'll close with this. Submitted into evidence at around 3:40 p.m. today was a potential bombshell from Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio, who theorized that Lamar Jackson's hamstring, which I did acknowledge should, in theory, be healthy enough for him to go after the bye week, might linger onwards, like it did in 2021 when he had an injury that he did not hustle back from because of a potential contract dispute with the Ravens. Counselor Filippone was aware of this as well and knew about it. If Lamar Jackson doesn't come back, that offense with Cooper Rush does not average 30-plus points a game. And the Ravens, at that point, even if it only lasted one extra game, become extremely vulnerable. 1-5 is bad enough. 1-6 would be a catastrophe, and we have past precedent to suggest that that kind of a situation is not off the table. Also, this Ravens defense is very bad, and no matter who the QB is, gives them almost no room for error. They ain't making it.
Andrew?
Well, I'd like to start my final remarks by saying the comments that Mr. Mueller just shared about Mike Florio's evidence should be inadmissible in this courtroom. I'd ask for them to be stricken from the record based on the conduct of Mr. Florio post that interview, Judge Donnie, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. If it were something that should be brought to light in this courtroom, I would expect for the person who said those things to allow for it to be brought up in this courtroom. It's been brought to my attention that he did not want that to happen. So I'd like to start there, which really blows up the whole final argument of Counselor Mueller, because if the person who said those things doesn't really believe it, then why are we even talking about Cooper Rush playing multiple months? The defense is bad. There's no denying that. They brought Dean Pease back last year. That helped. Maybe they'll do the same thing. And also, these defensive injuries are not season-ending to everyone. They're going to get Hamilton back. They're going to get Roquan Smith back. They're going to get their secondary back healthy. It's never going to be a great defense, but it can be good enough with an offense that averages that many points.
I really need to get that new gavel.
Lack of taxpayer funding for this judge's courtroom. What the hell is going on?
I need to get that robe, too.
Yeah, did we ever, we agreed, Donnie and I did, that you never bought the robe and wig. That was just like what's in the briefcase in Pulp Fiction.
Do we have a verdict, Your Honor?
I take his silence as a as an answer of yes, I never bought that stuff.
Gents.
Come on.
I do think the Ravens can still
Woo-hoo!
Make the playoffs.
Bang, bang.
But hold on. No. The question was, will they, not can they?
Well, he already made
you
a verdict.
You just passed a verdict based on what wasn't the question.
Too bad, Malzi. Goodbye. You
I
lost.
Think they will.
There you go. Yeah. Sorry, Malzi. And did you agree with me that Counselor Florio's comments should not be used in court?
Yeah.
Actual Counselor Florio.
Wait a minute. The evidence was that he did not want them put into print. He said nothing
no,
about
he did not
reusing
want any,
them thusly.
No, he did not want it. He did not want it sent out. He did not want it amplified. And you should have known that. And that was a tactical error by your legal
witnesses,
team.
Witnesses say things all the time that are the truth that they maybe weren't going to say. Oh, this is unbelievable. I'm calling for a mistrial.
Why can't you just accept that you lost once in a while?
I find it distasteful.
I think one of these weeks I am going to just mix a mistrial in
here. I also think Counselor Filippone was arguing very blandly and unconvincingly for a side he doesn't even believe in.
Sorry, you lost, Mulsey.
He also spent half of his last minute arguing on a technicality.
And guess what? He admitted it worked, so it was brilliant.
What is this? If it doesn't fit, you must acquit?
Pretty much.
This courtroom is BS.
Shut up.
You're out of order, Judge.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.